We're coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee is just 99 cents. Any size, that's 99 good reasons to switch. And thanks, as always, for joining the Celtics Talk podcast. I'm Kyle Draper with the insider himself, Ashirai Blakely. How you doing, big
man? What's going on, Kyle Draper?
Dude, we are in the Bay Area with the Celtics. They take on the Warriors. So much to get to. I know you're enjoying this West Coast trip. You're a West Coast kind of guy, right?
I'm becoming a West Coast kind of guy when it's 60 degrees. You know what? I'm not even going to do that to the people. I'm not even going to talk about weather. Both teams play hard.
Let's just say it is nice out here. Not so nice for the Celtics in terms of all the off-the-court distractions. Marcus Smart, lacerated hand, out 2 weeks. Details still fuzzy about exactly how it happened. But this is not a good look. Not for the Marcus, not for the Celtics. I mean, you got a big game on Saturday, and really nobody's talking about the game yet. We're all talking about this drama.
Which is crazy when you look at, one, your opponent, two, the kind of game that your opponent is coming off of, where they absolutely smashed the Timber Puppies, who on that game, they look more like the Timber Puppies than the Timberwolves, without question. And you're right. I mean, the game has become a side note, which is crazy when you look at the teams that are playing, the fact that we could be looking at an NBA Finals preview, and yet we're talking about cuts to hands, not cuts to the basket, but talking about cuts to the hand.
The roster, right. You know, cuts right. To the hand.
Right, and then you've got Al Horford, missing a game. He'll be coming back, and Kyrie, and all that is Kyrie Irving. It adds up to a lot of things that the Celtics aren't accustomed to dealing with. And for a team that's so young, this is just another part of their maturation process. How do we handle all this stuff that has nothing to do with the game? And can they block that stuff out and focus on what I think is the ultimate challenge, and that is finding a way to beat Golden State in their building?
Yeah, but they've been successful all season at blocking out those distractions or letting distractions not affect them on the floor. Gordon mm-hmm. Hayward, injuries, we saw it the other night. No Marcus Smart, no Al Horford, but yet they still beat the Clippers. So I will give the Celtics some props, man. The way that they've been able to, block everything out, and the guys that are with you, the guys that are on the floor, they find a way to get it done.
Yeah, and I think what they do, and this is what you like to see, is they use those type of what I think most people will consider setbacks as a means of surging ahead. They use it as an added chip on the shoulder. I look at a guy like Terry Rozier, who's had his ups and downs. I think he's at his best when he is being completely doubted and expected to do crap out there. I think he tends to step up. Shane Larkin has been a guy that a lot of us were kind of scratching our heads at when he signed with the Celtics, taking a lot less money to play in Boston than he would have overseas. But he's starting to show himself as someone that can help them really get through this period of time where they're not going to have Marcus Smart. But to me, ultimately, they're going to miss Marcus Smart. They're going to miss the energy. They're going to miss the defense. They're going to miss the 50-50 balls that he is able to corral. They're going to miss those charges he draws.
Charges.
Some
flash,
may call them flops.
Flops.
But they're going to miss him without question. And it's not a matter of if, but when is his absence going to be a factor.
Do you think the team will punish Marcus at all?
Yep.
I'm not going to doubt about it.
Yep.
Huh?
I think he'll get some type of fine. Because I think that, like most of us, there's some questions that are left unanswered, and I think they may have the answers to those questions and probably don't like the answers to those questions. It's hard for me to imagine how they'll just let this kind of slide when, you're talking about one of your key players before one of the biggest games of the season, who comes up with a cut on his hand because he did something with a picture frame. And this is a guy who has had moments in the past where he's lost his temper, punched a hole in the wall, and got into it with coaches before. So it's not like this is completely foreign ground, and my gosh, Marcus Smart would never do something like that. But at the same time, you got to move on. And I think what they'll do is they will, they'll have some type of internal punishment. He'll cut that check or do whatever they want him to do internally, and then everyone will just kind of move on.
Yeah, and what's messed up is this was supposed to be Marcus's year.
Yeah.
Contract year, lost all the weight, worked on his game, and it's been really an inconsistent year. Like, I don't see, I've seen development in him in terms of, you know, running a team, pick and roll game and things like that. But, you know, if this is your contract year, this is not the way you want these things to be playing out.
No, I mean, he has definitely improved his playmaking skills. Yeah. I think there's no question about it. He's a significantly better setting up his teammates and running an offense and doing those type of things that you'd want your point guard to do. But this is one of those things that when teams are evaluating, how much do I really want to pay Marcus Smart? This is something that's going to come on the maybe not what he wants to get paid. I mean, a couple league executives reached out to me, which is weird because usually I have to damn near beg and plead to get them on the phone. But they reached out wanting to know what was the deal with Marcus Smart. And their concern is that, you know, this is not just a one-off. And that's the concern that Marcus is going to have to alleviate going forward because, you know, Marcus is a guy that he expects to get a major bump in pay. Gary Harris from his draft class got $20 million and some change. Marcus ain't going to get that money, but Marcus certainly believes he should get, you know, more than, let's say, a Kelly Olynyk, who got about $17 million.
Evan Turner.
So if you're talking about $18 million, do you really want to invest that kind of money in Marcus Smart with this one being one of those things that raises questions about just his ability to just keep a level head and things like that? That's one of the things when he comes back, he's going to have to be on his best behavior and just prove that this hand cut that he suffered was just a one-off and that it's not something that, you know, teams have to be concerned with going forward.
All right, more with Sherrod coming up in just a little bit, but let's get into this week's edition of Stevens and Scow. You saw it on the Celtics post-up show. Stevens and Scow chatting from Beverly Hills.
Must be nice.
All right, Coach. Well, we know one thing. Congratulations on getting two players to the All-Star game, but you're not going to be going this year because of the way that it alternates. But what did you enjoy about coaching the All-Star game last year?
I enjoyed being around the players and getting a chance to meet those guys and spend time with those guys, although very brief. You know, the only time you don't have any practice, like the practice was a joke, right? You show up, they escort you out, and they say, okay, practice. You haven't met anyone yet. And in the middle of practice, they're pulling people off for side interviews.
Yeah.
So like you're even trying to do just like two ball group shooting, like most basic elementary thing. You can't do that. You can't do that. And so it inevitably becomes a show.
Yeah.
And then, so the only time you really talk to the team is right before the game.
Heard you hit out of the park.
Well, you know, here's the reality of it. We made a video to kind of celebrate the accomplishments so that they could enjoy the night, right? But I didn't want to talk. That's why we did it.
So, you didn't want to give them win one for the Gipper speeches?
No. But it was fun to be around the guys. It was a blast for our kids.
Okay.
That's what it was. Okay. You know, that is, for us, it's a fun memory. The pictures are great, blah, blah, blah. But for our kids, it's as good as it gets, right? They were all helping rebound and on the court and hanging around and like, I mean, you know, not real world.
Did you go to All-Star Saturday night?
We did. We went to All-Star Saturday night in large part because Isaiah was doing the skills stuff. And then we left before the dunk contest. I told my son, hey, I think our best bet is to become a good three-point shooter.
Boy, that was going to lead me to my next question. Like,
the dunk contest is old, especially for people that, like me who never really experienced what that feels like.
If you could win one of them, like if you were at that level and you could win one of them.
Three-point contest.
Yeah, for sure, right?
For sure.
It means more now.
No doubt.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, that was the coach Brad Stevens and Scow, the weekly segment that they do. Sherrod, let's get back to this big game on Saturday night. When you look at how the Celtics can win this thing, I think, like they won earlier this season, with defense mucking it up, you can't try to outscore Golden State. You're not going to score 125. You got to make a 95-88 kind of game like earlier this season.
You have to find a pathway to success that you know already is going to be pretty damn tight because Golden State is that good. They're at home, and they're going to be even more motivated than usual to beat the Celtics because of what happened at the TD Garden. And so this is going to be a game where the Celtics, they really are going to have at least one or two guys have special nights. And by that, I mean play games that when you look at their season in retrospect, you know, a few months from now, this game would stand out as one of their best of the season. It's going to take that type of effort, and they're going to need some breaks that they have absolutely no control over. Guys on that Golden State team are going to have to miss some shots they normally don't miss. We saw that happen at the TD Garden with Steph Curry, who I just thought, you know, the shots that he missed, there was at least six or seven that he normally makes.
Right.
So you're not going to – I don't think you're going to catch lightning in a bottle twice along those lines. But can Draymond Green have a rough night? Yeah. Can Klay Thompson? Yeah. Durant
probably not.
but there's always hope.
Yeah, there's always hope. But one thing the Celtics have been able to do in these wins against the Warriors is force turnovers. You know, Warriors get a little sloppy sometime with the ball. And we saw that against the Cavs NBA Finals a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, just turnovers at critical times. That's why I think the loss of Marcus Smart is going to be huge, because he's that guy that can make those kind of plays. Now, you know, defensively, Jalen has to step up. Terry Rozier has to give them great minutes defensively. And so, you know, that's the challenge, you know, and in that tough environment, too, where, you know, I if you look at it, I could argue that this Golden State team, talent-wise, is more talented than that 73-win team.
Well...
You had Kevin Durant, right?
I mean, that's why the take is not that hot, Drace, because the elephant in the room is the former MVP and just the 7-foot scoring machine, Kevin Durant. So no, Drace, of course they're better talent wise, but are they better as a team? And that to me, that's the questions that I have about Golden State. I think they have better top shelf talent when you add Kevin Durant. But what made them such a special team was that you could go 1 through 12 and find guys who you knew could make an impact. I don't think this team has that type of depth and quality, but they're still pretty damn good.
Pretty good. Is this an NBA Finals preview?
I hope so.
Just because you want to come back out to San Francisco in the Bay.
Hell yeah. But seriously, though, I mean, if you look at the way this season has played out, these two teams have been playing better, more consistently than anyone else. And the Celtics, they've already shown themselves capable of beating the top teams, not just in the East, but also in the West. I mean, you look at the top five, top six teams, the Celtics have at least one win over damn near every one of them. Yeah. So that, to me, validates them for being a team that should seriously be thought of as a NBA Finals contender. And Golden State, they're the standard everyone is trying to measure themselves up against. So obviously, they're a team that everyone expects to be there at the end of the day.
Yeah, it should be a great game Saturday night at Oracle. Our coverage begins at 7:30 with Celtics pregame live. Make sure you tune into that and always check us out on Twitter. Ain't Sherrod Blakely now?
That's all it is. It's that simple, Drew. You just said it.
You change Twitter handles more than I change socks and underwear, bro.
Oh, really?
I know, that's probably not. I don't want to say.
Yeah, you don't really want to go there. I'm going to let you walk down that dark alley by yourself.
Yeah, it's time to wrap this thing up. Well, on that note, we will see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us on all your favorite podcasting apps. We out!